not the church, just churchforthesierras.com. And up in the right-hand corner, there's a little thing that says sermons, and then it says online giving. And you can listen to audio from sermons there, or you can go over one button and put online giving and enter your information. And like all churches right now, since I'm pretty much preaching to an empty room, everybody's struggling, and so anything you can do, but if you can't do anything, that's fine. That's fine. We'd still like to have you join us every week, especially next week. Next week, we're going to do something really special. Matter of fact, at the end of this message, we're going to do something really special, and I hope you'll stick around to celebrate with us. So, in a normal year, and this is certainly anything but a normal year, we'd be talking this Sunday about the Lord's entry into Jerusalem just before the Last Supper and the garden and the cross, the triumphal entry, we call it. And in spite of all that's going on in the world right now, I think it's important that we maintain our focus on this Easter Sunday coming up and this Sunday and how this leads up to the celebration we'll have next Sunday. And we will have a celebration for Easter. Weather permitting, I'll give you a little bit of a hint. We plan to hold our service outdoors so that those of you that are congregants of the church or guests or whatever, you can stay in your cars or bring chairs if you want. We can all maintain an appropriate social distance without sacrificing the celebration of the greatest day in history. So I want to go to that that day right now in the book of Matthew, chapter 21, and read about what happened on that day that we're looking at now today. It says, "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey.' So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" This was all prophesied hundreds of years before this amazing story. So I want to look at this story, but this year I want to look at it from a little different perspective, because the story of the triumphal entry really shows us how we can be excited about the Lord when all is going well, and how quickly we can fall away when things are not going well. Once the soldiers show up and the trial starts, once there is danger to us, we can lose our excitement. Lose our excitement about our faith pretty quickly, like the Apostle Peter did. We can even come to a place of denying our faith or setting our faith aside. But the scriptures call out to us, this is exactly the opposite of what we should be doing, what we must be doing, if we truly want and expect God to intercede on our behalf. Our government seems to be doing its part to try to see us through this time. The healthcare system is on overload, trying to keep up. Friends and neighbors are stepping up, and businesses are stepping up to serve others. It's all great. But if we want to see a supernatural and unexpected resolution to this mess, there is only one place we can turn. Only one person who is able to turn this situation around with just a word or a breath. 2,000 years ago, he rode into Jerusalem on a little donkey. So I want to take a few minutes to look at what the Lord is willing to do if we respond appropriately to all that happened. As Jesus rode in through the garden, and all the way to the cross. And celebrate him not with palm fronds, but with our hearts and our lives. So this morning, the verse that I really want to focus on is in 2 Chronicles. It's chapter 7, verse 14. This is so amazing. Listen to this. It says, God is speaking here, and he says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. You ready for this? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. If my people. I wish I could say no ifs or ands or buts about it, but I can't. There is an if. As usual, God offers, and then we have a responsibility to respond. If my people, well, which people? His people. Obviously here in 2 Chronicles, he's speaking to the nation of Israel, because there really weren't Christians the way we understand it today in the Old Testament. That's a great subject for a discussion or a sermon later. And some theologians believe that because this was directed towards Israel, that it doesn't apply to us today. To which I would say, Jesus said that he came to fulfill the promises of the Old Testament and the law, not to abolish them. This promise from God most certainly applies to us today. We are his people. And so he is saying, if we would humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways. And you say, well, his people are Christians in this day, and therefore there should be no wicked ways. To which I would say, you must not have been a Christian for very long. Christians are sinners. We're all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. Everything we do that falls short of the glory of God is a sin and is by definition wicked. That's why Jesus had to humble himself for us. Humble ourselves, it says. Pride is rampant, even seen in the clergy today. People taking personal credit for the gifts of God. Hubris and arrogance, fake humility. God is saying, if we want miraculous intervention, we need to stop denying our failings and to come before him contrite, humble, and pray. Come to him in prayer, not just casually, not occasionally, but often. Not just the little, now I lay me down to sleep at night, or Father bless this pizza when we sit down at the table. Subjecting ourselves to his will in prayer and coming before him. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we studied last week. If my people who are called by my name will seek my face. How much do we look for God in everything? Especially in everything beautiful. If we did a better job, we'd certainly spend less time complaining about what we don't have and more time praising and thanking God for what we do have. Not seeking money or power or prestige, but seeking his face. Trying to see him in everything. So if we do these things, what will God do? First of all, he'll hear us. All the way up there in heaven, surrounded by the heavenly host, he will hear us. Isn't that amazing? So little that we need to do. Humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways. Seek his face, and God promises that when we pray, he will hear us. The amazing, all-powerful God who created the universe will hear you when you pray. That in itself is an amazing miracle and blessing, an outpouring of God's grace. He will hear us when we pray, when we come to him through his Son. Well, what's next? He will forgive our sins. Well, that one we already got. That's why Jesus came into Jerusalem on that little colt, to start the countdown towards the cross where he would pay for our sins. And the people cheered, crying, Hosanna! crying, Baruch Haba Hashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They were so excited. They'd been told that this was the long-awaited Messiah coming to free them. They hoped he was coming to free them from Roman rule, but he was actually coming to free them from themselves. Free them from the sin that was preventing them from communing with the Father. Free them from the penalty of death without hope. Replace it with a great and wonderful hope that would carry through all eternity and all circumstances. So God hears, and then he forgives, and then he heals their land, our land. Is our land in need of healing right now? You know, before this virus, a lot of people might have said no. But I don't think there are too many people that feel that way right now. Of course it is. And you might think I'm totally talking about healing from the scourge of this virus. And certainly that's at the forefront of many prayers today, and that makes sense. It's understandable. But God is talking about healing us from our indulgences and idols, our disbelief, our lack of communion with him because we're too consumed with communion with our things, the things that consume our time. What would the world be like if we matched or exceeded our time and energy expended on worldly things with time and energy expended in our relationship with the God of the universe? What if we took as much time as we're spending watching our TVs to see what's going on in the 24-hour news cycle and shut off the TV and opened up our Bibles and spent just as much time with the Lord as we're spending now watching the numbers change? So, does this mean that if we did these things, God would still not take away this curse of this virus? I don't think so. You see, Israel lacked in obedience and focus on the Lord much as we as a country have done. In this section of the Chronicles, God is referring to the situation at the time. Solomon has completed the temple. He's finished doing everything that he planned to do inside the temple. His own house was in order as well. He'd gone into the court of the temple and made offerings to the Lord as prescribed in the law. He held a feast and he dedicated the altar. Everything was focused on the worship of God. So God was saying then, and is saying now, that even if tough times come in the future, he says, keep your eyes on me, and I will heal your land. God knows that Israel will face tough times. He knew it then, he knows it now. Being overcome by other societies, the Persians, the Romans, the Babylonians, he knew that Israel would have rulers who'd lead the people away from his worship. But God is saying that he will always be there, ready to heal the land and to heal the hearts of the people. And he knows that we will have tough times. He knows we're having tough times now. But if we keep our eyes on him, he hears and he heals. You know, if you want to have heart surgery, you have to go to the doctor. And you have to submit to his will for you in regards to your health and how he will address the affairs of your heart. God is saying, I'm right here. Come to me. I will heal your land and I will heal your heart. Someone said to me before the Super Bowl that they understood that there would be a revival of faith in this country if the Chiefs ever won the Super Bowl. Well, I don't know if you heard, but the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. And if we had a true reformation, a true revival in this country, I believe that God would heal our land. And part of that would be eliminating the scourge of this virus. So I guess the question for us is, how much do we want God's intercession? How much do we trust the world system to heal us? And of course, they can't. Nothing in the world can heal us from the most serious illness of all, the godless life. That healing comes only from God. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. I want to close in a little prayer, and then I want to lead you in something that may seem a little unusual, but we'll go for it this morning. Father God, thank you for this promise. We need healing. We need healing from this virus, but even more importantly, we need healing from our hardened hearts. We need healing from hearts that have turned away from you. We need to get our focus back on you. Lord, help us to take this extra time that we suddenly have on our hands and spend it, at least a portion of it, with you. And Father, thank you that when we do that, we know that you will hear us and that your will is to heal our hearts and our land. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So a challenge. I know you're home and you're maybe in your jammies or something, I don't know, but not really feeling like you're in church. But God doesn't care whether you're in a church building or if you're at home on your sofa. So we're going to do a song now most people will be familiar with. And the whole point is I want you to stand up wherever you're at. If you're able, stand up. If you feel like lifting your hands, lift your hands. And join us in this word of praise before we go. 2, 3, 4. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my week.